Hello and welcome to podcast number 9. In this podcast, I continue to answer some questions from a very nice student in Baltimore, USA. Hello, I'm Paul Wilkinson from MasteringPortraitPhotography.com. Welcome back. So if you listen to podcast number 8, you'll know that I only got halfway through the questions that I was being asked by a student from Baltimore, Maryland in the US. And so in this podcast, I'm going to answer the second 8 of those questions. So started the week exceptionally well with my favourite thing of all, which is to go out for a few drinks with some old friends from the industry. So we met at the Midlands with Martin Baines from Graphy Studio UK, and with Dave and Jane Stanbury, who are simply the most wonderful wedding outfit you've ever seen. They're just fantastic photographers and, more importantly, fantastic people. Myself and Sarah have been friends with them for many years, and they were doing a workshop on the Monday on wedding photography, but sadly, I was already booked, couldn't go to that. So instead, myself and Sarah went up to the hotel, stayed the night, went out for drinks, regretted it a little bit on Monday morning. Monday was slightly slower than it could have been, I'll be honest. But what a fantastic start to the week. And a busy week it's been. We're in the process right now of re-engineering parts of our business. We do this periodically. Every few years, we take a good hard look at what we think is working, what we think is a little bit more challenging. And we look at the challenging and see if we can find ways of changing it. And then on top of that, a couple of very successful wedding pitches and a client coming back in to see their engagement photos. Just lovely, the loveliest couple. He wanted the really cool portraits of the two of them. She wanted the ones where they're really kissy. And it's very funny to talk to the two of them. Just the nicest people on earth. And I cannot wait to photograph their wedding. It's a year away and I'm already excited. And that's been this week. And right now I'm on my own. I'm on my own because the family have gone away for a few days, but I'm shooting a wedding tomorrow. So I couldn't go away for Easter. So they've gone down to Plymouth in Devon and I'm here on my own recording podcasts and videos and getting up to date with a whole lot of work that he's doing. So that's the week as it is. So back to the questions from the very nice student from Baltimore. So if you haven't heard podcast number 8, then quick recap is I get an awful lot of questions from people all over the world about photography, portrait photography, students asking for information, usually for some kind of presentation or thesis that they have to do. And this particular person has asked for information because she needs to create a story on PowerPoint to show her classmates, and it should be about 15 minutes long, which is all about photographers who live in a place of her family origin. So I'm assuming from the letter, though it doesn't say, that at some point her family have come from around this area. Anyway, we got up to question 8 last time. So now there are another 8 to go. So this is question number 9. Number 9, is there one story you would like to share about taking your business to such a successful level of professionalism? Yeah, there is, sort of. Firstly, don't learn it from photographers. I think that's the point. Don't learn it from photographers. Photographers are not necessarily the best people to learn about the business of photography from. Now, I started shooting weddings at a quite famous restaurant and hotel called Le Manoir aux Quatre Saisons, which is just down the road from us here. I didn't mean to end up photographing weddings. I was always a portrait photographer, but one particular client persuaded me to do it. While I was down there shooting this wedding, I started to watch the way that the front of house staff interacted with their guests. And it was really quite exceptional. Now, they are one of the best hotels in the world, granted, but the way they serve the client, the way they look after the client, you never feel pressurized. You never feel like there's someone on your shoulder the whole time. It's expensive, this venue, but it's not pretentious. It's very, very relaxed, but it's very, very expensive, which is a really neat trick if you can pull it. The service is clear. Now, by that, I mean, when you walk up, the minute you arrive, somebody somewhere will spot you if you're looking at all worried and say, can I help you? Can I show you where you need to be? Someone will take your bags from you. Someone will check you in. Someone will show you where the lounge is. Someone will ask you if you want tea or coffee. Someone will check to see what you're booked in for. Someone somewhere will make you feel like you know what's going on. But it's the most natural thing in the world. And they're trained like that. They have a meeting every morning that discusses different aspects of the guests who are in. and they go through it to make sure that if there's any key requirements, everybody knows. So if there's a particular client who likes a particular thing, trust me, the staff will know. And it's a wonderful way to run a business. It's all computerized. They keep logs of everything so that they know what you like and what you don't like. They know how to help you have the best time ever. And subsequently, you're going to pay for it. That is how to run a photography business. Understand your client, understand experience, understand service. Because as much as we love to think of ourselves as artists, most of the interaction with our clients is in fact just a service industry. We give people an experience. We give them tea and coffee. We make them smile. We give them cookies. The guy who came in for a meeting last night, their favorite thing, he said the tea was great and the cookies were amazing as he ate all of them. However, I won the wedding. I'm going to be shooting their day next year. So those kinds of experiences are part of it. When you do the shoot, their memory shouldn't be of you creating art. Of course, every photographer wants to create art. We all do. That's not what the memory should be. The memory should be all about the interactions and the laughter, if that's what your kind of personality, or maybe it was gentle and quiet, if that's your kind of character, whatever it is. Anyway, it's all about the service industry. It's all about the service sector. Restaurants, hotels, go have a look at those. And that's the story I have. That's why we've been able to build a very successful business, because we put service first. We put the imagery alongside it. We didn't just make it about photography. Okay, question number 10. Did you do something else to earn a living before you started to earn one doing photography? Well, I've already talked about this in the previous podcast about how I was a graduate with a PhD in computing. So I went and worked in the city for about 8 years. Firstly, as a full-time business management consultant working with a company called Accenture, which I loved the job, but it took me all over the world and it took me away from my wife and away from my kids and away from my family, which I didn't enjoy. It stressed me out. I loved the people more than anything. I loved the people I worked with. I loved the work, but the lifestyle was a killer. And so when the opportunity came up to go part-time and become a freelance consultant, I took it. And I worked 4 days a week for the Financial Times as a consultant into them. And then on Friday, Saturday and Sunday, I worked as a photographer. And as the project that we were delivering at the FT was being successfully rolled out, I cut it down to 3 days there, 4 days as a photographer, then 2 days at the FT, 5 days as a photographer. Then eventually I was on a day a week just to go in and oversee things. And that gave me 6 days a week to work as a photographer all the time. I'm building the business and building the business. And then one day, one of the managers caught me and he said, listen, we've got a new project. We'd love you to front it again. We know you'll deliver it, but this time you'll have to go back to 5 days a week. At which point I had to say, look, I'm ever so sorry. The photography business is now big enough that I really want to know. I want to know if we could make it work. I'm not saying goodbye. I'm saying just, I can't do this project. And I know that means you'll have to get somebody else in which case there's no role for me here. So I'll give up my 1 day a week that you've been using me for. I want to leave on really good terms so that if you ever want me back, have that conversation. And actually for the subsequent couple of years, I was forever getting phone calls asking me to go back. I never did. I stuck at it with the photography, which grew and grew and grew. At the same time, my wife was a marketing manager, a very good one. And so she had a reasonable salary as well, which also helped. So I took out some money out of my shares in Accenture. I then also had Sarah's income, and I'd saved up quite a lot of money in the process of being a consultant. So I had enough money to survive for a while. It wouldn't have lasted very long. And by the time we gutted our old garage and turned it into a small studio, we really didn't have very much money. It really did have to pay for itself. But pay for itself, it did. And part of the thing was, because we needed it to work, then I worked hard at it. It had to happen. It wasn't an option. I took on an awful lot of jobs that now I wouldn't, but I needed to be practicing with a camera. I needed to be practicing delivering to a client. And even though the jobs weren't really what I wanted to do necessarily, it was still money. It was still money in the bank. And at the end of the day, the money in the bank made it possible for me to go out and take the pictures that I really loved. And so that's how we did it. Question 11. What skills do you think are the most important to have to being a good portrait photographer other than technical skills? Well, I don't think technical skills are particularly high on the list at all. Now, I am fairly technical. And as you can imagine from my background, I have a PhD in computing and I have a degree in industrial design. So I am pretty techie. I love to know the nuts and bolts of how things work. I love the technical aspects of the cameras, though. I mean, I own a Nikon D5 and it's in manual the whole time. I never use all of the clever functions on it. Never, ever. I only ever work with it in manual. I only ever use the very basics. I've bought it it because it's tough, fast, and the image quality is stunning. So technical skills are not that important. What's the most important as a portrait photographer? People skills. Portraits are about people, nothing else. Yes, you need to know all the technical stuff to be able to do that quickly and effectively, but the only reason I would push the technical is to make it faster to get your pictures, because the faster you get your pictures, the more natural they're going to be. So I do actually train an awful lot of technical side of it, and I've taught myself pretty much everything I need to know, but I do it because then I'm really quick with a client, and that means I'll get a more natural portrait. Lighting is also crucial. Rubbishy lighting. At the end of the day, your job as a portrait photographer on the whole is to portray people in the best possible light. And I don't just mean that as a metaphor. I mean it actually in the best possible light. And so, yes, lighting is also right up there. But if you have no people skills, it doesn't matter how good you are technically, you're not going to have a portrait business. And you spoke specifically about the portrait business. You have to have people skills, you have to have business skills, you have to have lighting skills, you have to have technical skills. But the people skills, for me anyway, are right at the very top of the pile. Question 12, how did you start your business? Well, I've already talked about that. I was headhunted. It started on its own. Going full-time was a little bit more interesting in 2008 because, of course, we went full-time in March in 2008, right at the beginning of the world's biggest recession. Probably not the best timing, if I'm honest. I don't think if you could make that choice, you'd do that. I think you'd stay definitely in part-time work until the recession had ended. But technically, we're still in the back end of that recession. Things are still not that easy for retailers. And so actually, I'm not sure I'd have ever left my other career if I'd have done that. So I did the right thing. We held on to it. We've always been incredibly positive. I'm not really answering your question directly because I answered it slightly. I answered most of it earlier. But one thing I would say is we've always approached it by being positive and being energetic, always. Never down about it. I did once moan to Sarah, my wife, that have you seen the economics? We're heading for a meltdown. Everyone's going to go bust. What time? Why on earth did I leave Accenture? Blah, 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 having a proper rant. My wife just looked me straight in the eye and she said, that's the last time you talk like that. All right. End of the conversation. From now on in, positive. You've got to believe. And that's it. That's what we did. We've always believed. You can't build a business on belief on its own. You have to have everything else too. But if you're positive and energetic and open to ideas and enthusiastic, it helps. And that's always what we've done because positivity seems to attract positive people and they have become our greatest clients. So that's it. That's how we started the business, with a lot of energy and a lot of laughter and just a small amount of trepidation. Number 13. Now, this is quite an interesting question. Is there another type of photography that you would have preferred to earn a living with? No. Now, that I am very lucky with because I know so many photographers who would rather be doing wildlife but have to do weddings to pay, or they would rather be a fashion photographer but they have to do babies because that's what makes them money. No, I was headhunted doing what I love doing. I already took pictures of people for fun. And somebody saw those and recruited me to take those kinds of pictures. And I've been doing that ever since. These are the pictures I created as a hobby photographer. It's just, I now make money from it. That's all. So I'm one of the rare photographers that doesn't wish I was doing something completely different than what I do. Now, I take pictures of people and I absolutely love it. Question number 14, besides you, how many people do you employ? Well, it varies a little bit. At the moment, there's three of us, and it's been three of us for about 8 years. There's myself, there's Sarah, my wife, and there's Michelle, who looks after our clients. We all bring different things to the business. I'm the least organized, but the most creative. Michelle is probably the most organized, and she deals with phone calls and making sure the client always knows what's going on. It's Michelle who will show the client their pictures during the ordering sessions because she's super organized and super lovely. Sarah, my wife, of course, is the smartest of all of us. Very organized person, marketing background, but also an econometrics background. So she looks after all of the numbers, the finances, targeting strategies, making sure we stay afloat, making sure I don't overspend because I'm just like every other photographer. I do get drawn into, if I just had one of those, that would make such a difference. Whether it's a new flash head or a new lens or a new camera back, it doesn't really matter. I get really excited about it like every photographer. However, Sarah is long aware of what I'm like And now I have to put down a business case and I have to run it past her to make sure that there's a return on investment justified against the outlay. So she runs the business part of the business. And in fact, I'm probably the most expendable part because you need a very smart business. You just need then a photographer to slot into it. Now, obviously, it is slightly different here. We've built this business around the quality of the imagery. So I'm assuming they couldn't just fire me and kick me out because people come to us specifically for what I shoot and the way I shoot it. And I'm quite lucky in that regard. But I work with a lot of photographers where the photography component is simply photographers they've brought in off the street, they've trained them how to photograph against, let's say, a white background, and they do that 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. That's not this business, but you can run a business like that. The most important bits of running a business are business bits, not the photography. The photography is just the product. And it's easy to get kind of wrapped up in, oh, it's all about the art, darling, it's all about the art. It is to a point, but you still have to run a good business around it. So there you go. That's how many people we employ. During bits of the year, we bring other people in to help. So I've just lost my full-time assistant. She's gone off and set up on her own business and she'll be hugely successful of that, we know, because she was amazing here and she'd be amazing out there too. But just at the minute, I'm not sure whether we're going to put another photography retoucher assistant in, whether I'm going to put a marketeer in, whether I'm going to put something completely different, a videographer, an album designer, who knows? I won't know until later in the year when the workload starts to ramp up and I can feel what the business feels like this year, particularly with all of the changes that we're making. So there you go. That's how many people we employ. Number 15, what are the biggest mistakes people make when running their own photography business? Well, I'm laying a bet that's a very long list and we've probably made some of them, but given we're still standing, we probably haven't made enough to kill us. So I can't comment on what all of the different mistakes are. I can tell you some of them. Undercharging typically is one. Not producing great images is another. I think I'm still a believer that you have to create great images. Even if the end buyer can't tell, you know they're not great. And if you know, you're going to find it very hard to sell to someone. That said, I've met some incredible salespeople who they know the photography is not very good. They're just great at selling. You have to know your numbers really well. I've met businesses that don't know how to calculate their average shoot fees, for instance. One in particular, and I've heard this story a few times, but I've only experienced it once when I asked someone what their averages were and they told me. And I was like, well, that's quite impressive. They're quite good numbers. And then at the end of that conversation, she said, yes, but that doesn't include the people that didn't spend any money. And I said, I'm sorry. She said, well, I've given you the averages, but they're the averages for people who spent money. I've also got lots of people who came and never spent any money. I haven't included that in the averages. Well, that's not your average, is it? And the problem is that people fool themselves. Photographers like to think they're going to be successful and they fool themselves. You have to know your numbers inside out. If you can't do it, get somebody else who can help you. Because if you don't know your numbers, you're not going to be in business for long. Cash flow is king in this kind of business. What do I mean by that? I mean, in the end, you'll run out of cash in the bank, even though you've got lots of weddings or lots of portraits booked in the future. But if they aren't giving you cash now, unless you've got a big overdraft or a big slush fund, you'll go bust because you can't pay your bills. The bills go out every month, but most of our profit, or most of our revenue rather, comes in at the end of the year. So all we do is we put the money away, we bank it, so that we've got money in the bank that we gradually draw down on until the business does what it does every back end of the year and it makes a lot more money. And you need to understand the patterns in your business. You need to understand the difference between taking a photograph and selling a photograph. So it's all very well creating beautiful images, but until they have paid for them, you're making no money, nothing. All of that you're doing at that point is being a hobbyist with no income. You have to get it so that they pay quickly. So don't be one of these photographers who waits 3 or 4 months before they show the client their pictures. Show them as quickly as you can. Get them in, partly because they're still excited, but mostly because you need the cash. If you're shooting this week, in 2 weeks' time, you want to have closed it out and got the money from the job. You don't want it any longer than that because you're waiting for the cash. Don't do it. Always look after your cash flow. Always make sure you've got a cash in the bank. Don't stretch yourself too far on kit that you're not going to use. And that, I speak as someone who's experienced in it. I have far more kit than I need. The problem I had, I didn't know what I needed until I bought it and didn't need it. Now, that's a bit of a headache. And I think had I become an apprentice to another photographer, probably I would have worked some of that out earlier. However, the investments we've made that haven't been successful on the whole are a small part of the business, but they're still there. I still am surrounded by kit that I probably didn't need. But nonetheless, those are the kind of lessons you need to know. And then question 16, the last question. What advice do you have to give a young, inspired student of photography? Well, stay inspired. That's the trick. Stay energetic, stay positive, enjoy it. It's the best living in the world. It's not an easy living, but every day I get up, I come to work and I do all day what I used to do for the sheer joy of it. And lots of people predicted I wouldn't enjoy it so much. If anything, I enjoy it more now than I ever have. The photography is the best I've ever produced. The business is more successful than it's ever been. I'm having more fun with the people I work with. I'm having more fun with the clients I have. I'm enjoying it so much more than I ever did. And I always did enjoy it. Now I just simply adore it. So stay enthusiastic, stay positive, study, learn, soak it up. Find people and artists and pictures that inspire you and figure out whether it's something you'd want to do or if you just love it. I mean, I see landscapes, for instance, that I absolutely love. I don't shoot landscapes, but it doesn't stop me just being a ridiculous enthusiast about photography in general. I love it. I get to travel. I get to talk to nice people. I get to answer questions like this, which I quite enjoy doing because it makes me think. So yes, I would say stay inspired, stay young at heart, stay energetic, stay positive, stay positive. That would be the advice I would give you. And on that happy and positive and inspired note, hopefully to the nice student from Maryland, USA, who asked those questions, I hope I've answered them. But feel free to email back if you have anything that you didn't understand or my use of old-fashioned English is just a bit confusing, or you just simply can't understand my accent, in which case I'll type some of the answers out for you. Hope you've enjoyed it. So until next time, remember, be kind to yourself, be nice, be positive. Take care.